Well, thank you, Sister Leah. I tell you what, we'll not understand that love until we are with the God, and I'm not sure we will then. I think the heavenly host are still amazed about it, that he loved us like she was singing, like we were the only one. Amen. Well, most of you might not could bring Christmas to church with you, but my wife and I did. Our Christmas was the family coming, and we've enjoyed them. And if you look over to the east and you hear a lot of weeping and wailing, it'll be us, because they're about to leave. But with all that said and done, Stephen is still with us, and they are beginning to go back now in different directions. But we're so glad that we could have the Christmas we had, and I hope you had that with your family also. And so while he's here, we're still wanting to share him with you, so we're going to ask him to preach again this morning.
All right, good to see everybody again. It seems like just a week ago I saw most of you. We weren't sure if we'd be able to stay for this Sunday, but we got it to work out to where we could wait and leave in the morning early and head back up to West Virginia. And it's been a blessing, like my dad said, having the family together. And Case came in on Monday, and I think Shay flies out today, and Case flies out later this week. So it's one of those things, you used to take it for granted, but you don't get everybody together like you want to all the time. And so it's been a very special occasion for us, and we're very thankful and very blessed. We're going to go to Luke chapter 16, to a very familiar passage this morning. Luke, the gospel according to Luke, chapter number 16. And I broke my glasses this week. And some of you probably didn't know I wore glasses, but something happened. Like God flipped a switch when I turned 42, and I couldn't see anything up close anymore. And so I've been wearing some type of, bifocal without the line, because I'm not old enough yet to wear the ones with the lines in them. All right? And we'll get there soon, I'm sure. But anyway, so I lost a screw out of them. And of course, I can't work on my glasses without a pair of glasses on. So I mean, so I went to the store, and in Florida, the line's too long for something like that. I'm not used to waiting in lines in WV, so I couldn't bring myself to waste that much of my Christmas vacation waiting in line to get my glasses fixed. So I'm going to try it without it today. So, Barry, if I say something wrong, just help me out, okay? Because I'm not sure. I'm reading something blurry, and so I'll do the best that I can. And so Luke chapter number 16, we'll start reading in verse 23. And like I said, it's a very familiar passage, even though I don't think we'll go at it like we normally would. And I thought about preaching on vision for the new year, but since I didn't have my glasses, I thought I'd do something else. I think I did this last year or the year before. Sound like my dad a little bit when you say stuff like that. But before we start 2019, let's look back at seven thoughts from 2018. And I look at the looks on my kids' faces. I think I did do this before. There's a man in my church. He talks about a fella he played football with in high school. And this guy's name was Paul. And he was a big guy, run through a brick wall type of thing, you know. And everybody was very, very fond of him. And they'd look at him. He'd just be quiet over there in the corner sometimes. And they'd say, "What you thinking, Paul?" And he'd always answer, "Thoughts, thoughts." So I want to look at seven thoughts from 2018 this year, and we'll, as we approach the new year 2019. My goal for 2018 was to lose just 10 pounds, and now only 15 more to go. I ate salad for dinner. Well, mostly croutons and tomatoes. Really just one big round crouton covered with tomato sauce and cheese. Well, fine, it was a pizza. I ate pizza for dinner. Best way to prepare tofu. Write this down now. If you're in the habit of marking in your Bible, no, I'm just kidding, don't write this in your Bible. Best way to prepare tofu: A, throw it in the trash. B, grill some meat. Amen. Thought I'd get a witness there. All right. All right, I don't mean to brag, but I finished my 14-day diet in 3 hours and 45 minutes. What you been doing? Yeah. Someone said, "I just did a whole week's worth of cardio exercise after walking into a spider web." Okay, got that over with. A recent study has found that women who carry a little extra weight live longer than men who mention it. I tell you what, that was wisdom in 2018, and that's wisdom in 2019 right there. You know what I'm saying? Timeless truth. All right, last one. We'll stop here. Kids today do not know how easy they have it, do they, Dad? In fact, when I was their age, I had to walk through 9 foot of shag carpet just to change the TV channel. For real, for real. I've said those things before. You know, if I remember a day that if you were gone and somebody called you while you weren't there, you missed that call. You know what I'm saying? I remember that. I remember days like that. But anyway, I won't take a trip down memory lane here with you. Luke chapter 16. Let's look at this familiar passage. Luke chapter 16, verse number 23, talking about the story about rich man and Lazarus, but we'll pick up with the rich man after he's passed away. And I want to grab a thought this year talking about a loophole. Some people will soon be looking for a loophole, whether it's in their taxes that they'll be filing somewhat soon, or someone with maybe some charges that have been filed against them. They'll be looking for a loophole. They'll be talking to attorneys about that and paying for that opportunity. Well, I believe this rich man is an example of someone looking for a loophole. So let's make sure that we're not doing that in this brand new year. Luke chapter 16, verse 23, the Bible says, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son," remember this, the rich man was a son. He was the son of Abraham, makes me Hebrew. "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They, talking about the 5 brothers, have Moses," that's Genesis through Deuteronomy, "and the prophets," major and minor, "they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they," his 5 brothers, "will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Let's look at this passage of Scripture again this morning for a few minutes, and we'll look for the loophole that the rich man was referring to. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're very thankful and blessed that we can be together here on this last Sunday of 2018. Father, thank you for all you've done for us in this present year, Lord. We do have great enthusiasm as we look forward to what you're going to do for us in this coming year. Father, help us to be what we're supposed to be. Help us as believers, as Christians, part of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us to want to seek to draw closer to you and represent you better in the coming days. Father, if there's anybody here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we do bring them to you now the best way we can, Lord. We know it's a personal decision between you and them. Father, I just pray that they would see that they should not face the new year without the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So, Father, we ask for your word to go forth this morning clear. Use me as your messenger boy, Lord. Help me to say the things that I should and keep me from saying the things that I should not. Father, may I be your mouthpiece today, your message of truth. Now, Father, we thank you for this time. We ask your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a very familiar passage. Sometimes we'll look at this to get some descriptions of an account of hell, what it's really like. Hell, I've often said, is like going to the county jail. It's a temporary place where you are detained until you get sent down the road, until you get sent up, until you go to the penitentiary, federal or state. The lake of fire, the Bible says, all those that die in their sins, rejecting the provision of the Lord Jesus Christ, will be cast into the lake of fire. The last book of the Bible tells us that several times, very clearly, but thank God there's a way to not go to the lake of fire, and that's to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Here we have a picture in the Gospel of Luke, a story that Lord Jesus Christ told of a man who refused Jesus Christ, who refused God's gospel, the message of his salvation, and yet died in his sinful state, and he woke up. He lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He was in the temporary, he's in the temporary place of being detained. He'll one day stand before the righteous judge who will send him to his eternal sentence. And that's what we see, get a little picture of today. And we can go through and get many descriptions, but it's interesting as you look at this, many people look at this passage and try to claim God's unfair, that you have a penitent man in hell, and yet God will not hearken to his prayer or to his plea through Abraham. I read the story about just before the death of an actor from a long time ago named W.C. Fields, that a friend visited Fields' hospital room and was surprised to find him thumbing through a Bible. When he asked what he was doing with the Bible, Fields replied, "I'm looking for loopholes, looking for loopholes." You know, that's how many people live their life down here on earth today. You know that religion actually provides many people with loopholes today? They give them a system to participate in, and they think one day when it's all over and I stand before the righteous judge, he's going to have leniency on me because I did this or I did that, or I didn't do this or I didn't do that. The Bible's very clear. There's one thing you need to do, that's accept Jesus Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's one thing you don't need to do, and that's stand before God in your sin, because all sin has to be punished before a holy God in heaven. See, there's no loopholes in the Bible. There's no loopholes in this book right here. Man's law sometimes leaves something to be desired, and there are loopholes, there are mess-ups, there are mistakes and errors, but God's rule book is not like that. There's no loopholes in the Bible. Either you accept the Lord Jesus Christ or you spend an eternity in a place called hell, separated from God. Someone wrote this one time. They say, "This is something to think about in the new year. God has promised forgiveness to those who will believe, but he has not promised tomorrow to those who procrastinate. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, as often said. That's why the Bible says now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And as I already said, it's time, if you are not saved, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." One of my verses that I talk about a lot when I'm trying to explain, whether I'm preaching or talking to someone personally, about what hell is, it's separation from a holy God. What is the lake of fire? It's eternal separation from a holy God. 2 Thessalonians 1:9 is a verse I often refer to and have many times before. "Who shall be punished?" Talking about those that reject God and obey not the gospel. "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power?" See, if you die in your sins, if you leave this life, you have a chance right this moment. You have a chance as long as you're breathing, and as long as the Lord Jesus Christ does not return in the clouds and gather us up together to him, you have an opportunity, you have a chance to trust Jesus Christ, to believe on him. You don't have to have every answer. You don't have to have everything figured out, but the best way you know how, you have an opportunity to call upon Jesus as your Savior. But if you wait, there is no second chance after that. If you leave this life without Jesus Christ, you will face the just and deserved punishment for your sin. You will face that. That's why the Bible says that from a person that dies in their sin is taken from the presence of the Lord. You cannot be in God's presence. It's not possible. But also it says, not only taken from the presence of the Lord, but from the glory of his power. I've often explained that there are no prayers answered in hell. Right. You can say that the rich man was offering a prayer through Abraham. And, you know, it's Old Testament situation and context there. He's going to Father Abraham. He would be the guy to go to in a sense, as far as a man is concerned. He's trying to give his plea right there to Father Abraham. It's Abraham's bosom in this story here. And he's going right to him so he can get his request granted. But you know what the Bible says? That when you die in your sins, you're separated from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. No prayers answered in hell. Do you think people are praying in hell right this moment? I'd say so. I'd say there were some that are praying in hell right this moment. Are those prayers being answered? No, they're not. Are those prayers being heard? No, they're not. No, they're falling on deaf ears, if you want to say it that way. So I say all that as an introduction to say this. Many people think it doesn't seem right that God would punish someone in hell for all eternity. They put the blame on God for that. They think that maybe there's a loophole in the clear teaching of the Scripture about eternal damnation. Even some religions, some teachers come up with the fact that, you know, there's universal reconciliation in the future, that everybody, including the devil, will end up saved and gathered together in the future. The Bible does not teach that. Men teach that. Religion somewhat teaches that. It's pretty rare, but it does teach it. But the Bible, that's the problem. The Bible does not teach that. The Bible says in Revelation 14:11, it says, "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." Do you see that there's no end to their sentence? There's no resolution to their situation. It ascendeth up forever and ever. That's what the Bible says. I guess people mean well. But it reminds me of this story right here. The rich man in hell pleading that Lazarus be sent to warn his five brothers. And he said in verse 28, lest they also come into this place of torment. I've heard it argued. I've read this before. I haven't really talked to somebody that had this view, but I have read this. I've read the argument that this man, this rich man, had repented. And now he knew what the truth was. And now he wants to warn his brothers, and only a God who's a monster would refuse to release him. You know, if you compare Scripture with Scripture, and by the way, that's a good thing to do in 2019, in the new year. Biblical truth is wonderful, and when you compare Scripture with Scripture and truth with truth, you get even a greater understanding. And that's a blessing right there. It's always been a blessing to me. And as you compare Scripture with Scripture, especially if you start looking at some of the Scriptures dealing with the torments of the tribulation, compare those with the torments of a place called hell, you'll understand some things. I'd like to do that briefly here this morning. There's many ways to show that the tribulation that's coming after the body of Christ is raptured off this planet, and we're with the Lord Jesus in heaven, and all things that are written down in the prophecies, both good and bad, mostly bad, what we're talking about now, will resume here on planet Earth. When the tribulation happens, it will be a time of hell on planet Earth. You know, in Revelation 9:6, it says this. It says, "In those days shall men seek death and shall not find it." Do you think there's some in hell today that would welcome death? I'd say all of them. I'd say 100% of the crowd that's there would say, "Hey, I'll take death right now." But they won't find it. That's a picture of hell. The tribulation on earth is a picture of hell being separated from God. You think that everybody on the receiving end of torments would repent in the hope that God would relent and spare them from future or further torment? You know that in Revelation 16:9, the Bible says that men will be scorched with great heat. In John the Revelator's vision, he says, this is their response in verse 11 of being scorched with great heat. This is what it says. It says, those men, they blaspheme the name of God, which hath power over these plagues that they're experiencing, and they repented not of their deeds. Now I'm going to read that again. The ones that are going through hell on earth, what's their response? Okay, God, I've had enough. You got my attention. I'm going to do right. I'm going to turn to you. I'm going to say, you're what right? I'm wrong. You're right. The world's wrong. You're right. The Antichrist is wrong. No, they don't do that. What do? They blaspheme the name of God, even though he's the one that had power over the plagues. And they repented not. Do you know there's a crowd in hell? It's the same way today. See, the rich man, I believe he was part of that crowd. I believe his request to warn his five brothers was not an indication that he had a heart of repentance. I think, like many incarcerated men, he was looking for a loophole in the prosecution's case against him. See, if Lazarus was sent from the dead, if his request, he thought about this. If Lazarus would have been sent from the dead to warn his five brothers, then he would have been able to argue that he never benefited from such a supernatural warning, making his conviction unjust. It's not fair. You gave my brothers an extra warning than you gave me. I had to come here before I realized what was going on. But they were warned ahead of time. He wasn't concerned about his brothers. He was concerned about his own hide, kind of like people today. See, I believe if you start to add all this up, a more accurate picture of hell appears. There's not a lot of persecuted, pathetic, sympathetic cases down there. People enter into their rejection of God with their eyes wide open. People today, if they want to find the truth, they can find the truth. I'm not unsympathetic. I'm just saying if you've dealt with people for any amount of time, I was thinking about it earlier. My dad's been going on, what does the button say, 48 right there? And I know I have more than 48 holes in my suits from wearing those buttons. And they come, anyway, I should put it in the same hole every time, but sometimes you can't find that, especially if you broke your glasses. But anyway, he's been here a long time warning people about that place. And there's been many that heeded that warning, but unfortunately there's been many more that went on their way doing their own thing. Even someone like me, I helped him around here for 11 years in a more diminished capacity, but total I've pastored 13 years now. 11 as an assistant, 13 now as a pastor at three different churches, and I can tell you that I've got a chance to talk to a lot of people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got a chance to preach a lot of gospel messages, and I've thankfully had some folks that yielded to the truth, but I've had a greater number that went their own way and did their own thing, thinking that they knew more than God's word knew. I've never stood up and tried to make myself an authority. I've always tried to present myself as a messenger boy. I like to argue pretty good, tell you the truth, probably more than the next guy, but it's not about me out-arguing somebody else. It's about what God has to say. This is where we find the truth, right here in the word of God. So hell is not filled with the cries of repentance. Hell is not full of people that are saying, I'm wrong and you're right, God. No, I don't think God's in heaven being unjust. I don't think God's in heaven being unmerciful. He's given everything it was possible to give. He gave it all when he gave his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We just celebrated it. Hopefully we're still celebrating it. Hope we'll live every day of this coming year celebrating what God gave us. Like last Sunday morning, the unspeakable gift. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Hopefully we're going to be speaking about that unspeakable gift every chance we get in the coming year. But there's folks in hell and they're not saying, okay, God, now I know. Now I was wrong. No, you know what they're doing? They're cursing God. They're blaspheming God. It's the same as the picture in the book of the tribulation in Revelation. They are blaspheming God. They repented not. The air is filled with the sound of blasphemy in hell. Their voice... There's blasphemy voiced by men who are eternally convinced that God is wrong and that they do not belong there. I have a fella, we just made him a deacon here earlier this year, 2018, and he's been working at federal correctional facility there for, 8 years, something like that, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, I can't remember how long it's been. He's been working there, and I guarantee you, when he has to deal with those inmates, he doesn't deal with repentant inmates. He deals with ones that have gotten bad breaks and have been falsely accused and have been done wrong. And this guy got away, but they didn't. They had to take the rap. This guy didn't. That's what happens most of the time when you talk to men. They dig their heels in and say, you know what? I'm still right. I might be convicted. They might have all the evidence in the world, but I'm still right and the whole world's wrong. Yeah. Let me just tell you, the whole world don't have to be wrong. But if you're against God, you're wrong. Hell is not filled with the cries of repentance. It's not God turning an unfeeling deaf ear. No, the air is filled with the sound of blasphemy. Men that believe God is wrong and that they do not belong there. But here's the good news. Here it is, the last Sunday of 2018. Thank God that many of us know this, but if you're here today and you don't know this, here's the good news. You don't have to go there, amen? You do not have to go there. You do not have to experience it firsthand, the blasphemy and the unrepentance that still exists in a place called hell. The Bible says that if you just admit that God is right, that you are a sinner, Romans 3:23 is a verse we look at often, is it not? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible talks about that. If you understand that you're a sinner who deserves to die an eternal death for your sins, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ died for your sins so that you don't have to. One of my favorite passages is, and the preacher, Brother Burke, on Sunday night referred to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, or verses 3 and 4, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that how that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel that we preach today. That is the good news that I hope each and every one of you in here has received today. The good news. 2018 or 19, doesn't matter what number you put on it, it's always good news that Jesus died for sinners, but you have to admit you're a sinner. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You remember that story? I know I remember it because I told it on the radio, and I'm sure I told it from the pulpit before, but it's reported that one day when Vice President Calvin Coolidge, and unfortunately, I don't know him from history in school. I know him from Floyd the Barber talking about him on Andy Griffith. But anyway, it's reported that one day when Vice President Calvin Coolidge was presiding over the Senate, one senator, I'm sorry, got that wrong, a Freudian slip there. One senator angrily told another senator to go straight to hell. Well, the offended senator complained to Coolidge as he presided. The vice president looked up from the book he had been leafing through while listening to the debate. He says, "Well, I've been looking through the rule book," he said, "and you don't have to go." That's good news today, isn't it? Yeah, there is a place called hell. There are maybe people sometimes they'll tell you to go there, but the good news, the Bible, and this is the final word on the thing, says you don't have to go. Simply turn from yourself. Turn from maybe religion. Definitely turn from a worldly mindset. Quit looking for a loophole and just say, you know what? I don't need a loophole. I need that hole in the sky that Lord Jesus Christ provides. And turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. People use that term all the time. Go to hell. It's a form of profanity. You can hear it. You still hear it a lot. I used to even hear it when I was growing up. But it's on TV, on radio, or whatever. It's an expression that people use. And here's the thing, people toss that phrase around pretty thoughtlessly. It's not like that going to hell would just be another inconvenient and unpleasant experience. Driving on I-4 is an inconvenient and unpleasant experience. And as unpleasant as it is, it's not in the same category as going to hell. Even Hank Williams Jr. didn't do a good job saying, if heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, I don't want to go. You know, there's some humor in the statement, and I know he says, send me to hell or New York City, it'd be about the same to me. I get where he's coming from a little bit, but it's not just an unpleasant experience that we're comparing hell to. No, it might be a cute line in a country song, but it's not true. We cannot dismiss hell with a laugh and a song. If you're here today on the last Sunday of 2018 and you've been putting off trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, can I tell you, put it off no longer? I know I'm just a messenger boy. I know I actually don't get a vote, but with everything I have, I'd like to say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Today's the day to get saved. Do not face the new year if you get there without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Remember that story about that final eruption of Mount St. Helens, May of 1980? They say it wasn't a sudden event. For 2 months prior to the massive blast, the most deadly and destructive in American history, there were earthquakes, there was volcanic activity all along the way, signaling that a major event was underway. Authorities had plenty of time to sound the alarm and warn those living nearby of the looming danger. Yet, of course, just like when a hurricane's coming, despite the seriousness of the threat, some people chose to disregard all the warnings. Probably the best known of those who refused to evacuate was a man that had a pretty familiar name. That's why they give his middle name. His name was Harry Randall Truman. And he refused to evacuate. He was an 83-year-old man, the owner and caretaker of the Mount St. Helens Lodge at Spirit Lake. He had survived the sinking of his troop ship by a German submarine off the coast of Ireland during World War I. And he was not about to leave just because scientists thought there was danger. Truman told the reporters, he says, "I don't have any idea whether it will blow, but I don't believe it to the point that I'm going to pack up." And on May the 18th, 1980, Truman and whoever was left in his lodge were buried beneath 150 feet of mud and debris from the volcanic eruption, and his body was never found. Never found. Can I tell you that just like earthquakes and volcanic activity was warning about that great eruption, that there's rumblings today? This world is not going to continue like this forever. It can't. It's broken, and nobody out there can fix it. But there is one that you can look to. And first, you need to look to him to fix you. If you're here and you're not saved, he'll forgive your sin. He'll reconcile you to a holy God in heaven. He'll make your future everlasting life. That's what he'll do. He'll fix everything. And by the way, he'll come back down here and fix things down here, but he'll take you out of here before he does it. So do you know him today? Or are you going to go through 2019 looking for a loophole? My advice today, my advice as a messenger boy, quit looking for loopholes and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Thanks for listening to me this morning. The message of the gospel is an important one, and here it is, the last Sunday. I just keep saying that, last Sunday of 2018. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I believe God's got you here for a reason. He does not want you to go through another year without him. He did everything he could do. He loved you on your worst day. As the song was sung a moment ago, he loved you like you were his only child. He's done all those things for you. But it's up to you whether you accept him or not. It's your decision. It's your choice. The switch of faith lies within you, and only you have access to it. You have to accept him. You have to believe on him. How many can say, thank the Lord on this last Sunday of 2018? I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, but you can give a testimony with your hand. Thank you. Appreciate that. There's another side to the question, so we'll ask it now. Is there anybody here today say, I need prayer because I am not sure that I'm saved? Anybody like that? I'll pray for you at this time. Would you raise your hand? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Never once have I went to anybody and embarrassed them in any way or pointed them out. But I have prayed for folks that would be honest enough to say, I need prayer. I need Jesus. Please pray for me. Anybody like that today? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Here's my hand. Heavenly Father, we're very thankful that we can come to you now knowing that we have the truth. This truth is tested throughout eternity. This truth will be true a million years from now. So, Father, we thank you that we don't have to trust what man says or what the world says. It changes every day, but we can trust you. So, Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ loved us and died for us, rose again the third day. And if we'll simply believe on him the best way we know how, Father, we'll be a part of your family forever and ever and ever. What a blessing that is to know that wonderful knowledge of salvation. Father, I pray if there's anybody here today that doesn't know that personally, that you can continue to convict them and draw them close to yourself. Father, for Christians, as we face a brand new year, we have an opportunity to live for you. We have an opportunity to speak up for you. Father, I pray that you'd encourage us and build us up to the point where we will be the people that you'd have us to be. Father, for this invitation time, we ask for your blessing upon it. We ask for your will to be accomplished, and we come to you now and give it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please, and we'll turn the invitation back over to Pastor Carter. You heard.